The following is a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting. It's time for To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital. A weekly visit with the healthcare professionals at Rush Memorial to introduce you to the employees and the various programs at the hospital. And now, your host, Mary Frances Friedel.
Good morning. We're here today with Greg Pratt, Director of Pharmacy, and Taylor Jones, a Purdue Pharmacy student, to discuss the topic of the HPV vaccine. So, Greg, how is it that we are fortunate enough to have a Purdue Pharmacy student with us today?
I'm very proud because, you know, over the last few years, the hospital has been a preceptor site for Purdue students doing their pharmacy rotations. And so they'll come by and spend a month with us and go over introductory or advanced experiential learning. And so we give them different projects to do and stuff. And that's how Taylor joins us today. And, you know, like your daughter Mary Elizabeth, she came and spent time with us as well. So it's worked out real well that local students from RCHS can come back home after going to Purdue and learn more about pharmacy.
Well, I know Mary Elizabeth certainly enjoyed her experience with hospital, and I'm glad to see that you're continuing that program. It's good to have you with us, Taylor.
Thank you for having me.
Can you start out by just explaining what is HPV?
HPV is the most common STD that people can get in their lifetime. You know, up to 80% of people will get an HPV infection, and that's what it is. It's a virus that you can be infected with that can lead to genital warts, or even malignancies like cancer.
What are some of the symptoms? You mentioned the warts and that you could get cancer eventually, but are there other symptoms that people need to look for?
The warts are going to be the most common physical symptoms that people are going to be able to see. But most people can be asymptomatic, which just means they don't show any symptoms, and years can go where they are carriers or the virus will resolve itself. The body will fight it off, but the warts are going to be the most common symptoms that you're going to see with this virus, and it can lead to several different kinds of cancers and precancers, which is just before the cells change to cancer.
Are these warts something that both boys and girls or men and women can get?
Yes, so women and men can get these warts, and they aren't always on the genitals. They can even be around the throat and mouth.
You said people could be without any symptoms. So then someone could have this and not know that they have it and transmit it to someone else. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You mentioned having these, that you could have these warts in your mouth. Does this mean that you could get HPV just by kissing someone, not with any sexual activity?
Yes. So if you have a flare-up and you have those warts around your mouth, that can be transmitted and given to someone else.
So I guess you need to be even careful with who you're kissing. Once people have HPV, is there a drug that you can give them that will cure it?
Well, Mary Frances, the best medicine that we have right now would be to get vaccinated for it. Once you get the vaccine has been proven as all these years. It first started in like Australia, and they're showing that there's like 90% or above 93% success rate with suppressing the cancers and the warts and stuff out of getting vaccinated. So the best prevention would be to get vaccinated. After that, then you need to see oncologists or gynecologists, get into wart removals. If you have the cancers, you know you'll have to go through chemotherapy, radiation. Really, the best way to do it is to go through and get vaccinated.
So this vaccine basically then can help with prevention, of course, like all vaccines do. But you're saying that having the vaccine can actually help you by suppressing the virus even if you already have it. Is that what you're saying?
It protects you because, as we talked about earlier with some of the kissing and stuff, it is in the mucous membrane. So when you have sexual activity or kissing and some of that stuff in membranes, touch each other and stuff, that's how the virus gets transmitted. So the best thing to protect you against it, because there's so many strains of the virus out there, they have already identified the ones that are the types that will lead to cancers. So if you're having partners and they have that specific type, it will protect you so that that type cannot cause a cancer or the warts in you.
So what you're saying, Greg, if I understand this, is that there are different strains of this virus. And even if you are positive for HPV, you may only have one strain, and there may be other strains that are even more dangerous than the strain that you do have. So getting the vaccine will help protect you against getting additional strains of the virus. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because you could test everybody, and everybody carries some kind of human papillomavirus with them. But the vaccine is a 9-valent vaccine, so they've determined the different subtypes in that, and that is what it is protecting you against, so your body will know to fight that off.
So it sounds like this vaccine has really multiple uses, both before if you've never encountered HPV and afterwards if you have acquired maybe at least one strain of it, you're still going to get benefit from that vaccine. But what if you have the vaccine and you become pregnant and you have a baby? Is this something that you're going to pass on to your child? And if so, is your child then going to be at a greater risk for cancer?
Well, there is a very emotional side to all this that we guess, you know, we haven't talked about so far. But yes, any kind of contact with the mucous membranes, vaginal delivery, there could be transmissions of the viruses back and forth, you know, between the baby and the mother. A vaccinated mother would stand a better chance of not spreading any of the subtypes of the vaccine along during the birthing process. But it brings in that emotional side. So when you look at, the cancers and the cervical cancers and then turns into uterine cancers, there's just an emotional component to all this as well that really puts a lot of stress in people's lives.
How safe is this vaccine itself?
So the vaccine itself is really safe, and our vaccines are. Young women have been able to be vaccinated for this since 2006, and young boys since 2011. So there's been years and years of post-launch data that the FDA has been able to gather to monitor and make sure that our vaccines are safe, because I know that that's a huge concern for parents.
You mentioned that they've been able to monitor this, but when you look at millions of people getting this vaccine, there could be people having negative effects from the vaccine, and how would they really know?
Well, Mary Frances, what they do is they call it an abbreviation for VARS. It's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reaction or Reporting System. And what they do is everybody that goes, gets a vaccine, and then has some kind of adverse event, when they report back to their provider, they can report all this in, and there's all kinds of data that the FDA, CDC, everybody that's involved in the immunization practices really know and can follow up. What they do is to fill out one of the reporting system stuff, they go over people's ages, the day, the time, if they got any other vaccines at the same time. And so they look for any kind of correlations to make sure maybe it was an interaction between two vaccines, or was it somebody that had a specific disease state, or their kidneys weren't functioning well, or their liver wasn't functioning well, and what then happened, did the vaccine have anything to do with that, or was that part of why the patient had an adverse event?
Well, that's a great thing to know about. I was not aware that if I take my child and my child has a negative reaction, that it would be reported anywhere. So it's great to hear that they're collecting that data and that they're, you know, using it to constantly reevaluate the safety of the vaccine. That's kind of reassuring to know. Are there any side effects from this vaccine?
With injectable drugs, which are when you put it in a syringe and then you inject it into, say, your arm, is you're going to, potentially experience dizziness or redness at the injection site. But these side effects range from uncommon to extremely rare. So because these vaccines are so safe due to our monitoring systems, like Greg just described, and, you know, a lot of years, time, and finances going into ensuring that since millions of people are going to receive it, we want it to be really safe.
Well, I guess the next question is, who should get this vaccine and when should they get it?
The CDC recommends that children between ages 11 and 12 as on-time candidates for this vaccine. Now, they just expanded the indication. You can receive it up to age 26. The reason that they gave it 26 was because after that, the likelihood of exposure to HPV has been greatly increased, and they can't prove that there's much benefit to vaccinating after that age. So you can vaccinate starting at age 9, and 11 to 12 is the recommended age.
Okay, and you said that both boys and girls should get this vaccine?
Yes.
The other issue that is, I guess, the most important one is that the main purpose for getting this vaccine is to prevent cancer. So could you talk a little bit about the types of cancer then that can be caused by HPV?
Cervical cancer and cervical precancers, which is just before you were to develop cervical cancer, are the main cancers that we're trying to prevent. 99.7 to 100% of cervical cancers are because of HPV. And 7 to 8 women out of around 100,000 get cervical cancer every year. So we want to prevent that because we have found the correlation between HPV and those cancers. But you can have cervical cancer from this, throat cancer, anal cancer, and vaginal and penile cancers. And that's why we want to emphasize the importance of young men getting vaccinated too, because it's not just women at risk for cervical cancer.
How long after contracting HPV would a person develop cancer?
That could be years. Since we talked about HPV can show no symptoms for a long time, and you can also be a carrier, so it could be years before you could develop that cancer.
I guess then that's one of the reasons why HPV is so dangerous, because it really is kind of a stealth disease. It sneaks up on you. You don't see it coming. And then suddenly you have cancer because of something that you contracted years and years ago, and you had no idea that this was coming. So I guess this is a way of protecting ourselves from an unseen risk. But I don't know that some parents perceive getting the vaccination itself as a risk, not because there's any side effect, but because they're concerned that if they give this vaccine to their children, that their children are going to engage in sexual activity at a younger age, that they're going to sort of perceive that their parents have said, oh, here's a green light. It's okay. We're going to protect you, so now you can go and do this. And these parents have this idea in their head. So has anything been done to research this and see if this is a valid parental concern?
That is a concern that has been heard in physician offices for years now as a social reason that parents don't want to vaccinate their children, is they're afraid it's going to encourage them to engage in sexual activity earlier than they would have previously, under the idea that the vaccine might empower them to believe that they are safe from other STDs. But there are several studies that are large scale, and that's with tens of thousands of people surveying them in 3 years follow-up, and the one that I'm speaking about specifically, that prove that there was no decrease in age of sexual debut, which would be the first time that they engage in a sexual activity, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And this was on a scale of, I think, 40,000 women they were surveying and following up with that disproved that theory that we're speaking about.
In Indiana, we're in the bottom half of the country, and that is the number one reason of why people say, I don't want my child to be vaccinated, because I think they'll become more promiscuous, because they always tie this into sex, where the main push on all this stuff is to be a cancer-free generation.
Mm-hmm. So one final question for both of you. What is the cost of this vaccine?
They changed kind of the rules in the state, and if you have insurance that covers vaccines, you know, need to use that. And the vaccine will be covered by the insurance. If you are uninsured, underinsured, the state of Indiana has what they call the Vaccine for Children's Program, so VFC. And Rush Memorial Hospital is in the VFC program. So uninsured, underinsured folks can come to the hospital and get the vaccine for free. Come see, you know, Dr. Keto or through the walk-in care, HCA, any of our facilities. Cost should not be really any kind of inhibitor to getting vaccinated.
Can people use this program to get their other vaccines for free if they are uninsured or underinsured?
Yes. So the VFC program is set up from birth to through 18 years of age. If you have insurance that does not cover vaccinations, then, you know, we consider you to be underinsured, and then we can enroll you through the VFC program. You get the vaccine for free. There are administration charges, but at times, you know, that still becomes something that might be covered by your insurance. I would encourage anybody to come in, and if you're behind on your vaccines, come in and just, you know, have a well child visit. The state of Indiana has a immunization registry, and we can look you up in that registry, find out if you're behind on any of your vaccines, and vaccinate you, get you caught up, get you in a schedule to get you caught up if you are behind. And I guess I'm a big proponent of vaccine.
I guess you are, Greg. But it's a great thing for our community and for our patients that you are. So thank you both for coming in this morning and for sharing all of this information with us.
You can listen to past shows of To Your Health. Log on to rushmemorial.com and click on podcasts. Join us again next week for another visit with Rush Memorial Hospital. It's To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital on Hometown Country 94.3 WIFE. The proceeding was a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting.